Paragraph V, the fourth chapter of Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's on page Chafal of the most standard Rambams. Halacha Aleph. Eim alamdin Torah ela l'talmud hago nor b'maisav. You're not supposed to teach Torah except to a worthy student who is good in his actions. Or l'tam, or to a simple, innocent one. Avalam ha'yeholach b'derech lo tova. But if the student was going on a bad path, he was not living according to the standards of the Torah. Machzir nos l'mutav. You return him to the good way, and you cause him to go on the right path, and you check him, and then you take him into the house of study and you teach him. In other words, if he is going against the Torah and he just wants to learn like a subject of some sort, you're not supposed to teach him. The sages said, and if someone teaches Torah to a student who is not righteous, who is not good, it's as if he would have thrown a stone to the idol, Makulis. It says, it's like throwing a stone. It's the same when you give glory to a fool. What is the glory that you're giving to the fool? In Kavadol HaTorah, glory is none other than Torah, as it says, the sages will inherit glory. Now, if the rabbi himself is not a pious person, not following the right path, who even though he's very wise, and all the people need him, in Islam, you do not learn from him until he returns to the right way. It says, that the lips of the Kohen guard the knowledge, and Torah you should request from his mouth, for he's an angel of the Lord of hosts. Amr Chachamim, the sages interpreted it this way. Marab Domal Amalach Hashem Tzvakos, if the teacher is like an angel of the Lord of Hosts, then Torah Yavakshim Apiyu, then you should request Torah from his mouth. Imlav, and if not, Al Yavakshim Torah Apiyu, do not request Torah from his mouth. Halacha Beis, Ketzed Malamdin, what is the procedure for teaching Torah? Rav Yoshev Barosh, the rabbi sits at the head, and the students surround him like a crown, so they should all see the teacher and hear his words. The rabbi shouldn't sit on his chair while his students sit on the ground. Either everyone should be on the ground or everyone should be sitting on chairs. In the beginning, the rabbi used to sit and the students used to stand. Already before the destruction of the second temple, the custom became for everyone to teach students while they were sitting. It was too hard to stand the whole time. Halacha Gimel. If he was teaching directly from his mouth to the students, he should teach so. If he was teaching through a mitargim. A targum means a translator or an interpreter. And it was the custom that when you had especially a large class, the rabbi would speak to the mitargim, and he would say it out loud for the students to hear. And the Rambam explains the procedure. The mitargim, the translator, or the interpreter, stands between the teacher and the students. Rabba mal mitargim, from mitargim ashmi alachol atamidim. The rabbi says it to the mitargim, and the mitargim lets all of the students hear. If they ask a question, they ask of the interpreter, he asks the rabbi, and the rabbi answers the interpreter, who in turn answers the person who asked. The rabbi should not lift up his voice higher than the voice of the interpreter. Neither should the interpreter lift up his voice more loudly than the rabbi's voice when he's asking a question from the rabbi. Now, the Gemara says that the interpreter shouldn't be speaking louder than the rabbi, but the rabbi holds it when he's conveying the words of the rabbi. At that point, he should speak louder. That's his one of his purposes, is to speak loud so all of the students can hear. So the rabbi learns that when the Gemara says he shouldn't speak louder than the rabbi, it means when he's directing a question to the rabbi. The interpreter has no permission to say less, to say more, or to change anything. Unless the interpreter was the father of the sage or his rabbi. The rabbi objects and he says, this was an unusual thing. The Kesef Mishnah explains, he means that the father or the teacher of the rabbi should be the meturgeman. Usually the meturgeman is someone of a lesser degree than the rabbi. It happened one time that Rav came and Rav Shela was giving a class. Rav Shela was not aware of who Rav was, and Rav acted as his meturgeman. V'shina v'hosif, and he did change things and he did add things because he was greater than Rav. So the Rav is objecting to the Rambam, who writes as a matter of course that if the father or the teacher is the meturgeman, that he can't change. The Rav feels it was an isolated, unique incident, and the Rambam shouldn't draw a teaching from this. The Kesef Mishnah explains that there is a Talmud Yerushalmi which can be interpreted as the Rambam did, as referring to sometimes the teacher or rabbi acting as the meturgeman, and the Rambam bases his decision on that interpretation of the Yerushalmi. So says the Kesef Mishnah. Omer Rav l'meturgeman kach amar li rabbi o kach amar li abba mori. When the rabbi speaks to the translator, to the interpreter, he says, my rabbi said so-and-so. He doesn't mention him by name. Or my father, my teacher said so-and-so, without mentioning him by name. When the meturgeman relates this to the people, then he mentions the name of the sage, Rabbi so-and-so. He mentions him by name. And he mentions the name of the father of the rabbi, or of his teacher. And he says, kacham rab naploni. So Rabbi so-and-so said, even though the rabbi himself did not mention the name of the sage, because you're not supposed to refer to your teacher or your rabbi with his own name. So he didn't say the name, he just said my teacher or my father, but the meturgeman names him fully, gives out the name of the teacher. Rab shalamad v'lo avinu tamidim lo yichas aleim v'yirgiz. The rabbi taught and the students did not understand, you shouldn't be angry at them. You should repeat the thing even many times until they understand the depth of the halacha. Similarly, the student shouldn't say, I understood, when in fact he did not understand. He should ask again and again, even many times. If his rabbi was angry at him, the student should say, Rabbi, Torahi, Rabbi, it is Torah, I want to learn, I need to learn, and my knowledge is short, and I need your help. The student shouldn't be embarrassed if his colleague understood it and learned it well after one or two times, and he doesn't understand it after many times. If he's ashamed to ask and to say that he doesn't understand, he's going to go in and out of the Beis HaMedrash and learn nothing. And therefore the sages said, Harishonim, the early ones, in Abayshin Lamed, below Kaptan Malamed, a person who's too embarrassed doesn't learn, and a person who's too tempered, who has too quick of a temper, isn't a good teacher. Rambam continues, B'medvar Mamurim, when do we say that the rabbi should be patient and say over and over and over as much as is necessary? When the students didn't understand, either because it was too deep for them, or because they're not very smart. If the rabbi sees that they're lazy, they're not putting an effort to study the Torah. And that's why they didn't understand. He's supposed to get angry at them. And to embarrass them with words, to make them sharp. In other words, to inspire them to learn better. Concerning such a matter, the sages said, "Zrok mara b'tamidim," throw in bitterness, that is fear, into the students. Lafika, for the same reason, ein roi l'rav lino kalos rosh b'fnei tamidim. Around the teacher should not act in a frivolous way before the students. L'lishlik b'fneim, you shouldn't sort of fool around in their presence. L'olech v'lishlis imam, you shouldn't even eat and drink together with them. They should tell him, that his fear should be upon them. The Yomudu Mimena B'Meira, and they should learn from him quickly. Halacha Vav. In Sholem Nesarav, Kishikonos the Midrash, Ashi Tisiyashiv Daito Olav. You don't ask the rabbi immediately when he comes into the base of Midrash until he calms down, he settles down. Similarly, the student shouldn't ask as soon as he enters. He has to settle himself down and rest. In Sholem Shnayim Ke'echad, two people do not ask at the same time. In Sholem Nesarav, Minyan Acher, you do not ask the rabbi if some other subject that's not under discussion. Also, Hoinyan Shehena Sukumbo, but from that matter that is under discussion, Kadesh Lo Yisbayish, so you shouldn't embarrass him, because it's hard sometimes to jump to another subject and you might make a mistake. Veish Rav Adas Sadamida Mishelosa Vavamaisim Shaosa Bafneim Tel Chadidam. A rabbi should sometimes sort of do something wrong to the students, like ask a question that doesn't really make sense, or do something that appears wrong, in order for the students to catch him. It doesn't mean, God forbid, he does a sin of the Torah, but he does something that appears not, you know, as if he doesn't know a certain thing, or he's just doing it wrong, to catch the students, so that they should be on their toes, and they should realize this, and ask them, what's going on here? Also to test them, to see if they remember what he taught them or not. It goes without question that they could ask them about some other subject different than what they're studying in order to make them more zealous and more enthusiastic. Halacha Zayin. In Shalom Umid, you don't ask a question while standing. In Meshivim Umid, nor do you answer it while standing. V'lo megavoa, v'lo merachok, not from a high place or a far place. V'lo machores kenim, not from the back of the elders. In Shalom Rav Elabinyim Shein Korimbo, you ask the rabbi only in the subject that they're talking about. In other words, not only are you supposed to not ask him a totally different subject, but within that subject itself, you have to stick to the subject. The Kesef Mishnah gives an example. Not only if you're learning the laws of Shabbos, should you not ask him about some other laws, but if you're learning particular laws, let's say about carrying from one domain to another, you shouldn't ask him about some totally different subject, even within Shabbos. In Cholon El Mihira, you ask only with a sense of reverence and respect, fear, or awe. So you shouldn't ask in a particular subject at one time more than three laws. Halacha Ches. Shnayim Sheshalu, if two people asked a question, Shol Echad Kinyan V'Shol Echad Shlo Kinyan Niskakan Linyan. One asked according to the right, in the right manner, and one asked not according to the right way. You answer the one who asked in the better question first. I translated Kinyan as in the right manner. Perhaps it means, like you said before, bi'inyan, in the right subject, that you should answer the one who asked in the required subject rather than in another subject. I translated it the way I did because it says ki'inyan rather than bi'inyan, but still it is possible that he means in the specific subject. Maisa, shena maisa, niskakum la maisa. If one asks something that relates to an actual deed, what to do, and one is more abstract, you answer the one that has to do with the actual deed. If one asks a halachic question, one asks a midrashic, non-halachic question, one that interprets scripture but has no halachic bearing, you first answer the one who asks the halacha. Midrash, God in Niskakum la midrash. If someone asks a midrash, which is an interpretation of the biblical passage, and a gada, which is a general moral teaching, you answer first the midrash, the one who's asking the interpretation of the passage. It's possible also that here the word midrash is used in the sense of the interpretation of even of halacha. In other words, halacha, which is the final ruling, as opposed to the midrash, which is the process. He asks a question about the process of halachic interpretation. Agada v'kavachomer niskakin l'kavachomer. If someone asks a question of agada, the ethical or moral teachings, and a kavachomer, that is the reasoning of inference from major to minor and minor to major, niskakin l'kavachomer, you first answer the one who asked about the kavachomer. If one asks about the kavachomer, this logical inference of deducing one from another, and exereshava, which is an analogy where two similar words appear in two different contexts, and you learn the laws of one from the other, the skakim kavachomer, you respond to the one who asked the kavachomer. Hayu ashal and shnayim echad chacham vechad talmid niskakim lechacham. If two people asked, one was a sage and one was a student, you answer the sage first. Talmud Bamaretz, a student and an ignorant person. Niskakim la Talmud, you answer the student first. Shneim Chachamim, Shneim Talmidim, Shneim Amirat, they're both the same. Both sages, both students, both ignoramuses. Shalosh Shneim B'shtei Alachas, or B'shtei Tshuvas, or B'shtei Shailos, Shneim Maisim, or if they both ask concerning the same thing, in other words, the same type of question, they both asked in a question of Halacha, or they both asked some response, or perhaps that means they both wanted to respond to something, to a question that had been raised, or two questions of two actions, as opposed to the abstract Halacha, but a specific what to do in a specific actual case. In other words, the two things that they both asked are equal. They're either two equal people, and they asked two equal things. Then Oshus B'Yad HaMetargim Miata. From then on, it's the Metargim who decides. He picks which one of these questions for which one of these people to direct first to the rabbi. Halacha Teas, En Yishen B'Beis HaMidrash, you do not go to sleep in a house of study. Chalam Snamnum B'Beis HaMidrash, whoever goes to sleep in the Beis HaMidrash, Chachmasa Nasas Kroim Kroim. His wisdom gets all torn up. Chena Mishlama B'Chachmasa O Kroim Tal B'Shnuma. Solomon in his wisdom said, tears are in the clothes of he who sleeps. In a Beis HaMidrash, you should only speak words of Torah. Even if someone sneezed, you don't say, may it be to your health, the Beis HaMidrash and the Beis HaMidrash. And so it goes without saying that you don't have other discussions in the Beis HaMidrash. The holiness of the house of study is even greater than that of the synagogue.